just got the popcorn.
This thing had better have hot guys or cool science, otherwise I'm out of here.
Wow, she kind of looks like my ex.
Damn it, Rod. Now I'm going to be sick when she gets naked later.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to Movies in the Buff, where we strip down, objectify, and thoroughly violate your favorite movies. Here's your team of debauchery, Sexy Scully.
I would love to just take a day off, and only so long as I don't have to do that much work to maintain a day off.
And lovely Lisa.
I want a ringtone of Ed's secretary saying sluts.
And crazy Carl.
You know, can we just all go back to a time when life was fun, school was optional, and driving a car in reverse actually rolled back the odometer?
Oh my god. Yeah.
But how many times has that joke been played off of since?
Yeah.
Oh my god. Anyway, and for those of you who were not aware, tonight we are buffing Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Because we've got nothing better to do.
We've got nothing better to do, that's right. And for the record, I just want to point out that you should not watch the last Twilight and this movie in the same week. But
I would like to point out that you should not be watching Twilight, but that's just my personal opinion.
I'm not even going to go into that. It really sucked bad. I just want to say it really sucked that bad.
I haven't seen the last
vampire
one yet.
Vampire movie, sucking yeah. joke. Got it.
I did not even intend that, but that was awesome. Okay. No, the last Twilight was terrible.
Okay.
It was
the first Twilight was terrible. What are you talking about?
The last was even worse than the first three. But you get so far into them, and you got to know how it ends. And I really
no, I'm pretty good.
Anyway, so moving on, like or dislike? Actually, wait, I'm completely off base here, aren't I?
Yeah. Let's do a review. Let's do a recap of it. How's that? You know, for those people who have been born in the last 20 years who have no idea what this movie is.
Yeah, if not, watch AMC for about 15 minutes. You'll see it. A high school wise guy determined to have a day off from school despite what his principal thinks of that. Dude, I love IMDb. Short to the point. It's great.
Yeah.
People who also liked Carl?
Yeah. Okay, I want everybody to take a guess. Just name a movie that you think is also on is on this list.
Okay.
16 Candles.
Okay, Lisa?
National Lampoon anything.
Okay. Scully? Oh, wait, Scully already did. Rod? Or have you already seen it?
I have already seen it, but honestly, I would go with Red Dawn, St. Elmo's Fire, Breakfast Club, okay. 16 Candles, pretty much anything John Hughes ever did.
Yeah, out of all of those, one.
One of them was on it. That's insane.
Breakfast Club, Uncle Buck, 50-50, which I've never heard of. Argo.
You never heard of that one?
No.
It was pretty funny.
Oh. Argo, Thank You for Smoking, and Risky Business, which I definitely see as being on there. Because when this got done, I wanted to watch Risky Business.
Now, I don't see why Thank You for Smoking would be on there, but at the same time, that was a really good movie.
Yeah.
And Argo?
Yeah.
That one's just a new movie. That one literally just went through...
It just came out.
Yeah, half a dozen award shows, and it won something.
it won some Academy Awards.
Well,
Okay, yeah. So Thank You for Smoking. I'm glad that popped up, because now that's in my head, and I really want to buff that one.
I'd rather buff V for Vendetta.
That too, but I was already informed that I had to wait until November 5th to do that.
Yep.
So,
it has to get on streaming first.
Yeah. It was a year ago.
For the record, the Netflix description of this movie is nowhere near. Well, I mean, it's kind of near, but...
Yeah. Oh, by the way, do you want to read the top review from...
That's where I was headed. top review, Ferris Bueller's Day Off is a classic. This is a great movie and a must-see for anybody. I had a lot of fun in high school, and while it did not cut school, well, almost never, we have nothing in common, sir. I really related to Ferris and his shenanigans. I loved almost every scene in this movie, with the exception of the accidental car wreck at the end. Ouch. Okay. Ferris Bueller's Day Off is one of the best movies from the 80s in my list of the top 100 movies of all time. Abe Froman says, watch and enjoy.
Really? I love the guy's name.
And that was intentional.
That is...
Abe Froman, awesome. The Sausage King of Chicago.
Yeah.
I can honestly say that I now have the goal of someday being known as the Sausage King
of Chicago.
Not necessarily of Chicago.
Just one. You only get Chicago.
Okay, so like and dislike. Carl, were you hard or flaccid for Ferris Bueller? I mean, for Ferris Bueller's Day.
Oh, I would definitely say I was hard for Ferris's girlfriend. How's that?
Like, well, we're going to talk about that later because I think you might have some problems. But, okay. Lisa.
Yes, he has problems.
Lisa, wet or frigid?
Frigid.
Really?
Really?
You'd at least be a little soft on this one. Alright.
No, go. I've never liked comedy.
Okay, fair enough. Scully, wet or frigid?
Warm.
Okay. So I'm going to point out all the problems that just happened in the last, like, 5 seconds. One, we're going to go with Lisa first. The irony of you stating you've never liked comedy on a comedic film review show is kind of beyond belief.
Yes.
Two, Carl, I just want to point out that it's okay. You could have sex with her in any situation because she can watch the door and you at the same time.
What?
I can't do the lazy eye thing. Like, she had chameleon eyes. It's freaky.
Mm-hmm.
Gives a whole new meaning to looking up at you. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Scully, I want you to say warm again. Anyway, because that was just fun.
Rod. Right, it could have been worse. You know, we could have had, one of us could have had a thing for Ferris's sister. And seriously, who in their right mind had a thing for Jennifer Grey in the 80s?
Crap, it would have been much better if I could have remembered his name.
Charlie Sheen?
Nah.
That was so...
Well, he was on drugs.
Oh!
For drugs. Funny, because I'm pretty sure that's your problem. In real life.
Oh, no.
For the rest of your life.
Patrick Swayze.
Last weekend, I got around to rewatching the Charlie Sheen roast. And one of the guys on there made reference to the fact that he was in this movie. And Charlie Sheen's line in this movie is drugs. And I'm pretty sure that he thought the question was, how would you like to be paid?
Well, you know, this is the movie that got Charlie Sheen more starring roles, right?
Yeah.
Like, They cast him for just a BS throw-off role, and he shocked them so much that he ended up getting starring roles in other movies.
Uh-huh.
Yes. That's, yeah.
That's really freaking sick. Somebody in Hollywood was doing way too many drugs in the 80s. Duh!
He actually did a very good job with this. He can pull off his own character very well.
He's great at playing himself. It's when they ask him to play somebody else that it really starts to suck.
And that's really what you notice. You watch this and go, oh my god, no, he's actually good. Like, he does a very good job with this playing stoner type. And then they give him, like, a actual cool guy role and he sucks at it.
He was not in Top Gun. He was in Hot Shots, the parody of Top Gun.
Yeah.
That's
okay.
Why I always confuse the two.
Now, we're all over the place, and I'm okay with that, because
if
honestly...
If you had to drone through either of them, they're both the same.
So we're all over the place on this movie, and I'm okay with that, because honestly, a little chaos would suit us. But I do have to point out that in the classroom scene, when he starts calling out everybody's names, aside from Vince Stein, I noticed two people. I noticed one, Christy Swanson, who was most famous for playing with Charlie Sheen in that movie that nobody watched, and also for playing Buffy in the Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie.
Uh-huh.
Now... Beyond that, I also noticed a guy, and I cannot remember his name, but he plays Booth's brother in Bones.
Hmm.
And I actually saw him in this movie, and I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking...
It's Scott Coffey?
Really young, no. That's who I thought it was, too, but it's not him.
I think he's
it really helped me out.
Yeah, he's the only other kid in the class that's named...
No, he wasn't even, like, a named person.
Oh, okay. He was just in the class?
He was just in the class, but I saw him, and it's like, really? Hmm. Oh, and Louis Anderson, apparently, was the flower delivery guy.
Hmm.
Just, you know, during him calling, the teacher calling out names, I'm thinking, yes, I remember the teacher doing that in my class. Now, was I awake for that, just like I want to go to sleep for this one?
See, and here's the thing about John Hughes movies. I can never explain why I like them.
Mm-hmm. They're feel-good movies, and it's, you know, it's the 80s, and John Hughes was everything that was right with the 80s.
He very much, and I had to, like, I'm watching this and explaining this to my husband watching this, is that he's like, I don't understand why the principal's picking on this one student. I'm like, it's not that. It's that John Hughes does a fantastic job of acting out and pulling a storyline so that every high school student in the 80s felt they always got singled out and picked on by the principal. That was just mm-hmm. how they always felt. I mean, I never felt that way because, honestly, I couldn't tell you the principal's name of my high school.
You weren't in high school in the
80s. And I was in high school in the 80s. So
the actor's name, for the record, was Brendan Fair. Sorry.
Yeah. And I don't remember any of my principal's names.
I remember the vice principal for one of my high schools.
Oh, wait, I do remember one. Because it was a month.
I remember my vice principal just simply because of the fact that he played for the Razorbacks before becoming a school principal.
Yeah.
So, wow.
But, yeah.
Is it sad that I remember the officer's name and I don't remember anybody else's? Yep, awesome. But that was just it. Like, John Hughes has this fantastic job of being able to make a movie that really speaks to 80s high school students. Like, they all wanted to just never show up at school and get away with it. They all felt like the principal was picking on them. They all felt like, you know, they were either the outcast. They were all the outcast or the sporty jock or the, you know, they were so stereotyped.
Yeah.
Not so much anymore.
And can I just point out that this is the movie that brought us Alan Ruck as Cameron Frye, who, you know, went on to become the mayor of New York City and Spin City.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I always forget they're the same person.
Yeah.
And he wasn't actually the mayor.
Yeah.
But he worked for the
mayor. No. He was the mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's the guy with the white hair who can't remember shit now.
He actually took, I want to say, 20 minutes of trying to remember who he was.
No. You're thinking of Michael J. Fox.
No. Oh. The guy who played opposite Michael J. Fox in that movie was friends with the black gay guy.
No. There was Spin City circulated around Michael J. Fox and the rest of the staff and the mayor, who was played by Alan Ruck. And he was the old white-haired guy who couldn't remember anything.
At this point, I'm completely lost, and so I'm...
I obviously didn't watch enough Spin City.
Yeah.
So I'm going to say audience drink, and
go
with the Ferris Bueller monologue in the beginning.
And I am wrong, and Lisa is right. I could have swore... When I saw the picture of him grown up, I thought I mistook him, but she's right. It's Stuart. Is who he played.
Wasn't Barry Bostwick the mayor in that show?
Yeah, that's right.
Why do I know that?
Yeah.
Because you saw previews for it.
Yeah, I'm a big Barry Bostwick fan. Anyway, moving on.
Carl was wrong.
So you have, Carl was wrong. So you have the inner monologue of Ferris Bueller, and I'm not going to go into it because honestly, Ferris Bueller's inner monologues would take forever.
And I like the fact that they keep breaking the fourth wall in this.
Well, it reminded me of Saved by the Bell, I'm not going to lie. And I think this came first.
I'm pretty
positive. Just a little bit.
Yeah, this came first.
I wouldn't.
Because I watched that Saved by the Bell in the 90s.
Actually came first by 3 years. Saved by the Bell was 89.
Yeah.
When it first came out.
But that was a really commonplace thing by then. I honestly think that was something that was, for the most part, pioneered by John Hughes. And I could be wrong about that statement.
But the breaking the fourth wall? No, it's done. It's...
Yeah, but not in the same style. Does that make sense?
No, I'm sure it's been done before.
Yeah, it's been done before, but it is something that, you know, this movie made kind of famous and for how it was done. Mm-hmm. But I like the way that he does it in here.
Yeah. Yeah,
Very, very similar to actually how Kevin Spacey does it in the new House of Cards series. Which you guys should watch.
Yeah, one of these days I'm going to get around to that. Uh-huh. But,
Sure, second Tuesday next week, Carl.
Yeah, it's definitely one of those things. I was going to say something, and you completely cut me off there, Lisa. Now my mind's gone. Okay, so you have the inner monologue / breaking the fourth wall scene, where he explains everything that he does and why.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and you have the parents.
Yeah, and the parents. The parents are... Which, I mean, it's a John Hughes film. Parents know nothing and pay no attention to anything ever. So...
Because, I mean, you know...
And John are rich.
Because if you're a teenager in the 80s, this is what you thought of your parents.
And I guess that's where I lose a lot of John Hughes. Like, it's because I was not a teenager in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I lose it. Or I did not even have a developed memory core in the 80s.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I lose a lot of that, I guess. But, anyways, so, you know, he does the shower thing with the kick-ass mohawk.
So that's where all those kids were wanting mohawks when I was growing up.
Oh, no, That's the bath mohawk, which is another John Hughes 80s thing.
Yeah, Kika. I just realized my mind when I said that.
Things that you remember doing as a kid, this is what John Hughes does. And something that he is absolutely brilliant at is he knew the mind of the teenagers of this generation.
Or at least the ones that spent money on the movies, pretty much.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't, you know, it's not necessarily that we, you know, that everybody experienced these things or thought this way, but it was that so many of us did, and so it was so many things that we could identify with.
Let me break this for just a second. Okay. Anthony Michael Hall turned down the role of Cameron. So did Emilio Estevez. Now, Rob Lowe, John Cusack, Jim Carrey, Johnny Depp, Tom Cruise, Robert Downey Jr., and Michael J. Fox were all considered for the role of Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, I think they picked the right one.
I don't. And this comes to the point that I'm really not a Matthew Broderick fan. I really don't like him. This is the only movie of his that I actually can stand.
See, I still like War Games 2, but it's also because it's, you know... I think that's more of, you know, it's an era thing. Uh-huh. But, yeah, I still like it.
Yeah, I understand. But,
So anyway, we finally get Ferris out of the house.
Yeah, finally, you know, he calls Cameron, and you get to meet Cameron, who is pretending to be sick, I guess. I don't know.
No. Cameron actually is sick.
I don't think that he was.
No, he's not.
I don't necessarily think that he was pretending. I just don't think that
mentally
he was sick.
Yeah.
He fools himself into thinking that he's sick when he's really
hypochondria.
Pretty much.
It's not so much hypochondria. It's that all of his... He has so much internal stress that it's making him sick.
Exactly. But you notice the more he lightens up, mm-hmm. the better he feels physically.
Exactly. And that's the thing is, you know, it's not that he's sick. It's all the pressure and stress that he's under is tearing up his body.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, Ferris convinces him to come pick him up. And I love the car scene, the whole sitting in the car.
Yeah.
And
because who hasn't done things like that before?
Yeah. Yeah. Usually after drinking, but that's beside the point. I'm over it. I don't drink and drive anymore, guys. Just for the record.
Then we've got to get the girlfriend out of school.
Oh, no. Before you even get the girlfriend out of school, you got him sitting in the car. And I did want to say about the car, there was no actual car. The Ferrari did not exist.
We aren't even to the Ferrari yet, though.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because
right.
He leaves in his Volvo.
Yeah, he leaves in his POS, as it's called.
Yeah,
there is nothing wrong with a Volvo. You can roll.
Oh, no, but that thing was beat to hell.
No, I've seen worse. I really have seen worse. His was actually in a fair condition.
I do like miles on it. I don't even have a piece of shit. I have to envy your piece of shit.
Yeah.
So
the hard thing is he keeps going on, like, about how he asks for a car and he got a computer. Oh, I'm like, movie dude, goes on about it. The computer back then, you got a computer that wasn't the size of a room. Eaglead.
Yeah. And, you know, he used it to change his number of days abs.
Yeah, how did that work anyway?
Yeah, that was kind of...
How did that happen?
That's because nobody understood computers at the time, so they were like, yeah sure, you can do that with a computer.
Yeah, I get that. I get the mechanics of why it happened in the film. What I want to understand is at some point, John Hughes had to stop, look in the mirror, and say, that was fucking stupid. Like, at some point, he had to face this fact.
Probably about the same time he sold an Apple stock.
Well, and remember that this movie is, you know, 3 years after War Games.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's still kind of it's that 80s hacking thought.
Yeah, true.
Where computers were bad. Anyway. So, you know, they go to get a girlfriend, and you have the entire conversation with the principal, which actually kind of made me laugh.
Oh, I loved that one.
Principal. That made me laugh. And once again, it was one of those things I'm looking at, it's like, this is fucking stupid, but it's hilarious.
Yeah.
John Hughes, damn you. You always make me feel the opposite of what I should feel in that situation. Anyway, so once again, like I was saying, the Ferrari did not exist. So when they take the Ferrari out, he convinces them to. It's actually a fiberglass model.
Yeah. They had three fake fiberglass Ferraris because it was too expensive to rent a real Ferrari.
And the budget of this film was already in the millions?
$6 million for this movie, estimated.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Made over $70 million in the U.S. alone.
Oh, yeah. He could probably still be making rights on it. I mean, some of the intro songs were like, oh, my God, I so remember this song.
Opening weekend in the U.S., they made more than their money back. $6.2 million.
Yeah.
How do you remember this?
I'm looking at it. No.
How do I remember what?
How do you remember anything in the 80s? You are 1 year older than I am. How do you remember this?
I still started school before you did.
1 year. I started school in 90, you started in 89. How does that make a difference?
Sorry, I'm a cat.
Anyway, okay, I'm over it.
Okay.
So, at this point, I get lost in the fuzz of Cameron doesn't want to, Ferris wants to, chick just made out with who's supposed to be her dad right in front of her principal.
And I love the principal's reaction to that. Oh, so that's how it is in their family.
Oh. And then, of course, you have the alternate storylines of the principal's trying to bust Ferris, the sister's trying to bust Ferris. Nobody seems to want Ferris to succeed in this, except all the students who think that he's severely sick.
Yeah.
And the parents are completely clueless. And at this point, it's all a rush of this, that, and the other until Ferris ends up on a stage. Actually, until Ferris ends up arguing with the maitre d' at a restaurant.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so we end up in Chicago.
Uh-huh. And, no, they went to Chicago.
Yeah, that was Chicago.
Chicago? Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. Not only was that supposed to be Chicago, but, like, the whole ending credits, like, half of it is thank you to all these various Chicago organizations.
Jeez, I just want to point out Cameron was almost 30 in this movie.
What?
Alan Ruck was almost 30 when he played Cameron.
Really? Mm-hmm. Born in 1956. Wow. He was 30.
Wow. He was actually 29.
Well, he was 29 when they filmed it, but he was 30 when it came out.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Ooh.
Ferris laments not having his own car, but does at least own a synthesizer, which cost $8,000 in 1984.
Yeah.
Nice. Anyway, so where were we at in the actual storyline? I'm sorry, I lost it. I got caught up in trivia.
We were at them being in Chicago and...
yeah, Sausage King thing.
Yeah.
And, which once again shows, oh, Ferris is brilliant and way smarter than everyone else in existence.
Yeah.
And also, if that waiter talk or if the maitre d' talks anymore, I really am going to come through the screen and slap the piss out of him. Oh, I've never hated a character so much in my life.
I think that was the point.
Yeah, you were supposed to hate him.
I know, but it went above and beyond.
Yeah.
Like, I think everything would have been acceptable had it not been for that pencil-thin mustache.
Yeah.
Like, I think everything else he did I could have dealt with and moved on. But that mustache was driving me insane.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds weird, and I'm not actually making a joke here. Like, him talking the way he did and reacting the way he did would have been fine without that mustache.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, is it me, or is it a John Hughes thing that dickheads and bad guys always have mustaches?
Yeah, kinda.
I'm trying to remember now if the guy in Breakfast Club had a mustache.
He did not.
Did he not? Okay. Maybe it's just this movie.
I was actually trying to think if there was anybody in Breakfast Club who had a mustache.
Yeah.
No, there wasn't. Except for maybe one of the parents.
You never saw any of them.
May just be this movie then.
But they're not, like...
I was like, isn't there a janitor? No, it was just the janitor's closet.
The janitor was there, but he didn't have a mustache.
But anyway, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, crap.
What?
Never mind. I'll get into it later. I'm sorry, guys.
So we get lunch.
Tired. Yeah, they get lunch, and then they go out on the street and do the parade because Cameron's not seen anything good today.
Oh, no, no. First they go to a baseball game.
Was the baseball game first? I thought that was after the parade.
No, that was before the parade. Mm-hmm. The parade was like the last thing they did.
Okay. So then you got the baseball game, and you got Cameron doing the hey, batta.
Yeah, which, and Ferris catching a foul ball on live national television while the principal is wiping soda off his face.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, obviously, this was way too coincidental.
Oh, no, he was having fun with all the, how close he got to getting caught. Like, especially with the dad.
No, I get that, but obviously a lot of these situations were entirely too coincidental, and at some points, like, for example, the catching the foul ball thing, it started to feel kind of cartoony and flawed.
It kind of is.
That's kind of John Hughes, though. He always has those really played-up moments, like the kids in the museum, and then suddenly there's the three of them are in line with the kids in the museum. Like, he does, like, picturesque, kind of cartoony, fun play moments like that throughout his movies. Oh. Things like, oh, hey, if you just looked around and turned around, you'd be able to catch him. Or it was that kind of weird stuff.
Okay, the sister, played by Jean Grey?
Yeah.
Yeah, Jean Grey, did I really just... That is her name, isn't it?
It's Jennifer Grey.
Jennifer Grey, sorry.
Okay, so here is the list of people who turned down this role, or who were considered for this role and for whatever reason didn't get it. Linda Blair, Goldie Hawn, Ellen Barkin, Kim Basinger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Gina Davis, Robin Duke, Carrie Fisher, Melanie Griffith, Mary Gross, Linda Hamilton, Daryl Hannah, Barbara Hershey, Holly Hunter, Angelica Houston, Jessica Lange, Kelly LeBrock, Kay Lynch, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Catherine O'Hara, Madonna, Kelly McGillis, Michelle Pfeiffer, Sybil Shepherd, Meg Tilly, Sigourney
Sybil Shepherd.
Jodie Foster,
Jesus Christ. Stuff,
and Deborah Winger.
Crap.
Nice.
They wind up with anybody they wanted, first off, on these parts? Just wondering.
John Candy auditioned for the role of Cameron Fry, but producers turned him down, fearing he was too old for the part.
Yeah.
This sounds like one of those movies that just took way too damn long to cast.
Yeah. Like, most of their budget, I think, went to the casting director's pay.
Probably. God, and all the agents they had to pay off. Can you get a hold of Madonna? Sure, but she said no.
Oh, no. Here's a piece of trivia that I really like, that I find interesting, because I noticed this throughout the movie, but I couldn't tell why. You know, were you guys paying attention to any of the license plates in the movie?
Yeah.
And the fact that none of them seem to have numbers in them? All of the license plates, are actually abbreviations for John Hughes movies. The mom's is, VCTN for National Lampoon's Vacation. Jeannie's is TBC for The Breakfast Club. Tom's is M Mom for Mr. Mom. And Rooney's is, 4FBDO, which is for Ferris Bueller's Day Off. The only exception is, the Ferrari, which is Nervous.
Anyway. So, they go to the baseball game and catch this foul ball. Guy's wiping coke off his face because he just pissed off some butch chick.
Yeah.
Which is funny because back then that
she wasn't that butch.
No, she wasn't that butch. She just had a short haircut.
Yeah.
But it she looked like Ferris from behind.
Anyway. Yeah. So then we have, then it's the parade, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Was the close call with the dad before or after the parade? I can't remember.
It's before the parade. It's right before the parade.
When he starts tickling his girlfriend while she's flirting with his dad.
Yeah. Which
anybody else find that a little creepy?
It was really creepy.
It was kind of creepy, but it was still really funny.
They actually had another close encounter right after the restaurant. Taxi.
Yeah.
Well, and there was also the point where he was in the same bathroom with his dad.
Yeah, he's in the bathroom breaking the fourth wall. He walks out and his dad walks out.
Yeah. Yep.
But anyway, so you have the close call, and his girlfriend flirts with his dad. Now, may I point out that his girlfriend now has made out with what was supposed to be her dad in front of her principal, has flirted with
Matthew Broderick's dad,
with her boyfriend's dad, then stripped down in front of Cameron a little later in the movie.
Yeah.
This woman has, no qualms about this crap whatsoever, and that is the only real thing I love about her. If she was hot, I'd be all over it.
Oh, and by the way, the scene where you were talking about Paris tickling her in the taxi cab, he actually does. She said he actually did tickle her to get her to laugh naturally.
Well, Tom Skerritt was considered for the role of Ed Rooney.
I could have seen that, but I wouldn't.
Yeah, I could too. But
I wouldn't have felt as good, laughing at how absurd he is.
Yeah.
If it was Tom Skerritt, Tom Skerritt's one of those guys that's really hard to find absurd.
Yeah, no, I agree absolutely. So of course you have the parade where Ferris sings, and then you have the Cameron's idea of Ferris, which I thought was one of the few moments that I could actually connect to in this film.
Yeah, and
it's
this is
you know somebody like that everything seems to work out for no matter how hard they push the limit.
Yeah, and this is another John Hughes thing. About 3/4 of the way through the movie, it kind of gets he starts making really good points.
Yeah,
and
it's really when you start to like and understand the Cameron character. He actually says more lines that aren't entirely complaining, whining, or fighting back against everything. It was when he's actually free and openly talking that you suddenly realize that, oh, this character's got issues. Real ones, not just the fact that they're whiny and don't want to do anything. He's got legitimate problems.
But, and again, that's another John Hughes thing, but, even the Cameron character before this point, everybody knew somebody like that in high school. You knew that kid that was always bitching and moaning about your whatever schemes you came up with.
Yes, because I came up with a lot of schemes in high school.
You were if you were the schemey friend, or you were around a schemey friend, you knew the guy that was always bitching about your schemes.
Uh-huh.
Well, you were.
Yeah, I could name him.
Yeah, or you were the bitchy person.
Anyway, so after the parade, and after they almost, well, the dad's driving away from the parade while Cameron's on stage.
No, the dad's up in his office at this point.
Oh, is he up in his office?
Yeah, because he looks out the office window while Ferris is singing, and he starts dancing. That's while they're doing the twist.
Nice. I forgot about that completely.
Yeah, anyway. I always forget. I always remember him singing Donkey Shane in the parade, and I always forget about the twist.
Yeah. And then, of course, you
have... I have a question about his singing. Was it real, or did he lip-sync?
No, he was lip-syncing.
Yeah, it was definitely lip-sync.
Now, I
don't know if that was... I sometimes stop and think, is that... Could that be his real voice?
No, even the subtitles on the movie specify that he's lip-syncing Donkey Shane, and I'm pretty sure that he's lip-syncing to the twist also.
He's lip-syncing the twist.
That's what I thought.
He can't sound black.
Of course, at this point, by now, Rooney has gotten to Ferris's house, broke in through the doggy door.
Love the dog.
I want a dog like that.
I mean, granted, it's not a small dog, but that is a big-ass doggy door.
Yeah.
For a grown man to get through it, that's a big freaking doggy door.
Well, and he didn't even get through the doggy door. He's just got his head there when the dog comes out and chases him off.
Well, then eventually he gets in and the sister kicks his ass because she's skipping school to prove that the brother's skipping school. Because this makes sense by this point.
Oh, yeah.
It's that kind of movie.
She beats the crap out of him and then runs upstairs and hides.
Yeah, and calls the cop and tries to call her mom. She can't get hold of her mom, so then she calls the cops, and none of the cops care because this is the 80s.
And this is Johnny's.
Yeah.
And then, of course, she thinks that the cops are there, and she goes downstairs, and apparently someone hired a prostitute nurse calling card. And all I want to know is, where do you find those? Because, Carl, I have some birthday ideas. Preferably not that one, but we'll talk. Anyways.
I have some birthday ideas, too, and mine comes up before yours. I definitely don't want one of those.
Your birthday comes before mine?
Yeah, mine is like in 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Oh. I was waiting on the Facebook reminder. Anyway, because that's what I do.
Yep, that sounds about right.
That's pretty legit. Anyway, I don't remember my own birthday 90% of the time. Anyway, so, to recap here, she kicks the crap out of the principal, then she runs downstairs, she meets the prostitute nurse, somehow ends up getting busted by the cops for prank calling the police.
Apparently, yep, because they couldn't bother to go down and save a kid who's calling because they've got an intruder in their house, but they can bother to go down there and bust him for prank calling.
Yeah.
It's John. Yeah. And she makes out with Charlie Sheen playing Charlie Sheen while her mom steps out, and I really want to know the middle part of that conversation, by the way.
Which one?
The conversation between her and Charlie Sheen.
Oh, it cuts to the mom scene?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was an important bit of information that was missed in this conversation?
It was the 80s. There may not have been.
Their high school, there definitely wasn't.
So it's one of those, I do drugs. Well, I don't do drugs. Well, we're both in a police station. Well, we both have hormones. Let's screw.
Yeah.
I like it.
There's a guy you really need to talk to. If the name Ferris Bueller comes out of your mouth, you're going to lose a testicle. Oh, you heard of him.
Although I do have to applaud her for threatening his testicles.
Yeah.
Not anyway, the first time, and definitely not the last his testicles were threatened.
And then, back to Ferris, where everybody just now finds out that the freaking parking attendant just took the car for a joyride. Fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Dude, I'm going to take that car for a joyride. I ain't lying.
Yeah, me too.
I'll be sitting in the front seat next to you, Carl.
I just said I'm sitting in the harness with the parachute way back up in the air.
Yep, as I drive under the overpass.
You would too, just to be a dick.
Yes, I would. I would drive under the overpass, and while I was under the overpass, I would clip the leash.
Well, you know they have release specifically for that, right?
Yep.
You can pull it yourself specifically to stop that from happening.
Uh-huh. Drink. We are somehow managing to talk about parachuting by the parasailing.
Automobile parasailing. No, there's a specific word for it. Anyway, moving on. Okay, so Cameron blows a microchip.
Yeah, he blows it, and while they're trying, while they're waiting for him to come out of it, they've pretty much got the car sitting in the garage,
going in
rear tires propped up with a cement block and it in reverse.
Well, at least they had it on a bumper jack. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I was going to say, it wasn't even a cement block, it was a freaking bumper jack.
Mm-hmm.
No, the cinder block was holding the gas down.
Anyway,
so I'm not even going to go to how stupid the whole reverse to take off the miles thing is.
It's a high school thing. Like,
yeah.
It just showed how very little they knew about cars and why he got a computer and not a car when his parents, when he asked his parents for what he wanted.
And I will point out that, you know, a long, long time ago that did work, but it was a long time before this.
Very long time ago, yes.
Anyway, and also, they decided that the perfect cure for catatonia, that's not the right word, is it?
It's catatonia.
Is it? Okay, catatonia is to prop him up on a diving board and set in a hot tub.
Yeah, they put him on the lifeguard bench.
Oh, that was a diving board.
Oh, was it? I always think of it as a lifeguard seat.
The diving board. Because that's intelligent.
Yeah.
He was on a chair on the diving board, but
yeah.
Not exactly, well, clearly not the safest method, but this coming from a bunch of teenagers who, he was sitting the entire time in a two-seater Ferrari, on the actual portion where you have shoved the soft top.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No seatbelt.
Yes, but in the 80s, I don't believe we had to have seatbelts.
Yeah, it was called that's actually called a jump seat, but yeah.
Oh, well, speaking of jumping, he jumps straight head first into the pool. Well, technically falls head first into the pool.
Mm-hmm. He goes to try and commit suicide, really. That's just it.
But I'm not convinced that's what he did. I think it was all dramatic effect.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think he ever had any intention of suicide.
Mm-hmm.
No, I think he explains, too, that he was like, he knew that he wouldn't, because he knew that Ferris would either come get him or he'd have to save his own life. But to be quite honest, it was all a matter of, from this point on, it was just Cameron having a complete meltdown and realizing that, okay, my parents hate me. My dad doesn't love anybody. He loves objects more than the family, and completely wrecks the car in the process.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was all the breakdown of Cameron. And honestly, I mean, I think, obviously it's a John Hughes movie, so everybody ends up happy. But in that particular situation, that seemed like it would work until the dad got home.
And well, it's also the 80s.
Destroy everything.
There's definitely an innocence about knowing about things like, oh, family violence and physical abuse and, like, there was a huge, I give it to the 80s, you got really close as far as being, like, really intimate moments with characters and talking about things that were really risque, but you still didn't, like, acknowledge a lot
how
of
bad
things were,
yeah.
Yeah, from mostly definitely the family violence. Like, it was just never really pointed out. I mean, even The Breakfast Club, it's touched on that, you know, parents are quote-unquote ignoring the kids. I'm like, yeah, ignoring would be nice in a lot of family cases back then.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, then, you know, you have Ferris saying his goodbyes. And then he takes off on the sprint across town, which has become way too popularized, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Although I do like the way Family Guy did it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, it's been done several times since.
Yeah. And also, I do want to say that if ever, audience, you feel the need to go and bounce off of a trampoline over a 6-foot-tall privacy fence and land in the various yard behind it, number one, make sure you know what's in the yard. Number two, don't fucking do it.
It hurts when you land on the fence or when you hit the ground on the other side.
It's gonna hurt. Regardless of how you land, best case scenario, you land on the ground on the other side and twist your freaking knees.
Yeah. Or ankles, depending on how you land. You could still land really wrong.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that, like I said, that's best case scenario.
Yeah.
Anyway, so then, you know, he makes it home and Rooney finally catches him and the sister covers for him. And where the hell did that come from? Because it's a John Hughes movie and we just have
because.
To. Yeah, and she's finally accepted, you know, the fact that she doesn't need to be, you know, she doesn't need
because
to ruin things
Charlie
for her
Sheen gave her drugs. This is my, like, this is literally my idea on this, is her laughing, giggling fit means that she got a contact high off of whatever it was he was on. And by then...
Direct high, more than likely.
Say it again?
I said I would call that a direct high, more than likely.
Yeah.
Not a contact.
Coming in direct contact with Charlie Sheen can cause a high.
Well, you know, it's all that tiger's blood.
Yeah. Winning.
Yes! I got that in there.
Yeah.
Anyways. But no, it wouldn't have, this scene wouldn't have bothered me where she covers for him so bad if it wasn't for the fact that we just watched, like, for 5 straight minutes, her racing home to try to catch him, gets a ticket, goes through hell to try to catch him, and then covers for him.
Yeah.
It was like, no, that's not the way anybody thinks. That's not the way that happens. Anyway.
Like, she had a moment of, or a change of heart as soon as she saw the president yelling at him and saw his face, principal. Facial reaction to it. The president, principal.
Yeah,
same thing. Sorry.
Oh, wow.
Well, and found his wallet in the kitchen.
On the floor, yeah.
He was the guy who broke in.
Yep.
Oh, I swear. Anyway. Yep. So, you know, Ferris runs upstairs, talks to his parents. Parents say, you might need to take another day off from school. And it's
yes,
over.
Yes, because that's how only his parents would react.
Yes, and now there's credits, and we insert that deleted scene of Rooney having to
that was
walk
awesome.
Away and have to ride on the bus.
That was awesome.
Which was actually supposed to happen earlier in the movie after... Jennifer Grey told him that she had called the police, which is how that whole thing makes sense.
Yeah. Well, I like the little nerdy chick. That cracked me up.
Yeah.
Come, you pair?
They've been in my pockets, so they're all warm and
squishy.
Pocket
and warm.
Yeah. Because I did go to school with one of those girls.
I think my best friend was one of those girls.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going there at all. I do remember that girl. Anyway.
He dated that girl.
I never dated that girl. I was never that low. Anyway, so that is the end of the movie. Moving on into Best Buffed. Let's see, Lisa, would you like to start us off?
Okay, I gave this 2. One of them is for the Rooney's sunglasses. You flip them up, you flip them down. Most useless eyewear ever.
They're called the early transitions lenses.
Yeah.
They are still useless.
I wouldn't say the most useless. I'm still trying to figure out.
I could get it if they were clipped to actual glasses,
yeah.
But his weren't.
No, I'm still trying to figure out the little thing that Morpheus wore in The Matrix that just kind of sat on the bridge of his nose. How the hell does that stay on?
Surgical implantation.
No. Spring. But anyway.
My next one is the most interesting car wreck, although that was a very sad thing to do to a Ferrari.
Yeah.
Oh, I had such a better better name for that one, actually.
Oh, yeah? What'd you name it?
The Vin Diesel Don't Be a Dick Dick Award.
I'll give it that. I'll go with that one.
I need to mention something. Rod, earlier when we were talking about Ferris lip-syncing, and you said that he lip-synced the Twist and Shout because he can't sound black, you are aware that they were doing a that he was lip-syncing to a Beatles cover, right?
You said that.
No.
No, I said that.
Oh, you
and
said
the
that?
Original Twist and Shout is not written by the Beatles.
Oh, no. He was, but they were doing a Beatles cover. That's what he's lip-syncing to.
Yes. Yeah, that was the Beatles cover of it.
I wasn't aware
of
that.
It was just very irritating that it was like, what are you trying to do?
Anyway.
But you gotta think, the guy, I mean, this movie came from the same guy who, like, let Molly Ringwald star in, like, half his shit. So, I mean, the man was not right. Anyway. Okay, so, Carl.
I actually only had, one award for this. Actually, I've got two awards for this. I have the over actor award goes to not Matthew Broderick, but specifically to Ferris Bueller for his acting with his parents. Oh my God.
Yeah,
and I do have to agree with him. Worst performance of his career.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give the, give the award for how do I want to word this, because I just came up with this one. Best Vision of a Decade goes to John Hughes.
Okay.
I think that's how I'm going to word that.
But yeah.
Yeah.
Alright, any others?
Nope, those are my two.
Right, Scully?
I will forego the obvious Brat Pack Award for the 80s film that this so clearly epitomizes, because,
and,
well, it's one of them.
And strangely enough, not one, well, only one member of the Brat Pack.
Yeah, exactly.
And I'm not even sure that Jennifer Grey is a member of the Brat Pack.
She is technically considered because of Red Dawn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Which is how Charlie Sheen got this role.
Yeah.
Because,
well, I mean,
she was
just
in,
like,
she was in Red Dawn with him.
Well, it's just like, for some reason, Demi Moore is a member of the Brat Pack.
Mm-hmm.
Just because she was in St. Elmo's Fire.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, so my actual official award that I do give it is the Frank Lloyd Wright Award for the Frank Lloyd Wright-inspired house and garage.
Yeah.
That was Cameron's parents' place.
Yep.
Any others?
That's it.
Okay, I give Ferris Bueller the Righteous Mohawk Award. And also, what's her name? The girlfriend. I can't think of her name now.
Sloane.
Sloane. Yes, I give Sloane the Cookie Monster Googly Eyes Award. Her eyes freaked me the hell out through the whole movie. Anyway, and that's all of mine. Plus the Vin Diesel Award that I mentioned earlier. And moving on into buff quotes. Carl, would you like to start us?
Sooner or later, everyone goes to the zoo.
Trying to think of a joke I can make here that doesn't end in bestiality.
Good luck.
All right, so, Scully.
Oh, he's very popular, Ed. The sportos, the motorheads, geeks, sluts, bloods, wastoids, dweebies, dickheads, they all adore him. They think he's a righteous dude.
I still want a ringtone.
That's why I was like, be quiet. Anyway. Alright, Lisa.
It is his fault he didn't lock the garage.
Agreed, it's his fault.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I've heard that before.
There's one hell of a garage, too.
Yeah.
Okay, and my quote, and I think this is just kind of a testament to the mood that I've been in lately, but you can't respect someone who kisses your ass. It just doesn't work that way. And I thought about doing that entire sequence, but I was like, nah, that's the only part that's really important.
Yeah.
So, and that's good advice for you people out there. Don't kick his ass. Anyway. Alright, let's see. Now we are at, were you playing with your Willy? Lisa, find out if we were playing with Willys.
Now, would this be your own or Willie Nelson?
I'm trying to think of a Willie Nelson song and it's not coming to me, but that would have been hilarious. Anyway.
Mama, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys?
No.
Yeah, anyway, no. That
go ahead. Drink, go.
What was on the back of Cameron's shirt?
Oh, how and the number 9.
Yep.
Okay.
I was in which shirt? Because I remember you wore a dark green one at the end.
In the first... In the shower scene, what color is the towel that's hanging on the rack?
It's like a purplish burgundy.
I'll go with maroon. I don't really remember.
Scully?
I was going to go with a lavender.
No, it was green.
Hmm.
How did we all get that far off?
I don't
have no idea.
I was really actually trying to
watch the shower. It was behind him during the mohawk scene.
Yeah, I don't remember it.
I was caught up by the mohawk.
That I believe.
I fell into the mohawk. Anyway.
I don't like shower scenes. Every time there's a shower scene, I'm assuming there's going to be, like, blood or hand or it's like a moment. I can't focus during shower.
Okay, eventually we're going to have to do a psycho movie.
We are psycho movie. Anyway, Scully.
All right. So the number of sick days that Ferris had been recorded as missing, and what was it that he changed it to?
9 to 2.
Ironically enough, I heard Rod complete it.
Yes.
First. It's like I got one half an answer and everybody went on over. Alright, so the second question is, yeah, I noticed way too much marketing. What was being used to be passed around the high school in order to raise
Pepsi-Cola.
Funds? Yeah.
There's actually 2 Pepsi cans in this movie that are noticeable. It's that one and the one that he steals from the guy that's working the barbecue grill during the run home.
In there too, and I forget where that one was located. It was at some sit-down meal scene.
It was probably at the pizza place.
See, I watched the new Red Dawn like right after watching this.
I haven't seen that yet.
I'm not disclosing anything more than just. The main marketing in the new Red Dawn is obviously, painfully obviously, Subway.
Mm-hmm.
And so now everything I think about marketing is now Subway. Anyway, okay. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Let's see, that was your last one, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
So, Carl.
All right. Let's see. How high are they standing when they're on the building?
1,353.
I wanted to say 3,400 feet up.
Lisa, would you like to specify whether that's inches, miles, meters?
Feet.
Okay. I heard a number and I didn't hear a follow-up.
Sorry.
Billy, do you have a guess?
No.
Okay. Lisa was right. It's 1,353 feet.
Seriously?
Yep.
Yeah.
I think she actually wrote that down because she figured somebody would write.
I did not write it down, but I did remember it because I knew somebody would ask.
Okay.
No way my head would remember those numbers.
All right. And since I'm not going to be all Scully and go with another numbers question, what color is the stone on the ring on Sloane's right hand?
Opal.
I'm going to go with turquoise.
I want to say aquamarine or red, but I'm not real sure.
Okay, no, you didn't, Rod.
I know, that was a joke.
Okay, so we have opal, turquoise, and I'm waiting on Lisa to decide on something.
Ruby, which is red.
Okay, nobody was right. Rod was the closest. It was a dark blue.
Yeah, I really was like, aw, crap. Opal was on the other hand.
Yeah, when you said opal, I almost went.
I was like, as soon as I said it, I was like, nope, other hand.
Oh. Yeah, when she said aquamarine, that was the joke. Was
okay, so
turquoise aquamarine. I don't know the difference.
Yeah. So what was this? What's the score so far? Rod's got.
Rod has one.
I've got two.
And Scully and I have one.
Yeah, you have.
I don't have any.
Okay.
Well, we're going into my question, so I'm definitely not winning. Okay. All right, and okay, to the right of Ferris's door was a band poster that was a reference to a previous John Hughes movie. What band?
Simple Minds.
Yep.
It's Don't You Forget About Me.
Yep.
And it's also in the trivia.
Yeah, I know, but by the time I figured that out, I just didn't want to change it.
Yeah.
In the closing credits scene, Mr. Rooney, as we discussed earlier, was picked up by a bus and given a ride back.
Mm-hmm.
What number was the bus?
The fuck?
I couldn't make it out when we were watching it.
It was pretty obvious. It was right above the door.
I just don't remember.
That's where all numbers are located.
Yeah.
I didn't look.
No.
I know, I was looking away at that scene.
Yeah, I was trying to remember. I was trying to read the writing on the side of the bus.
Yeah, I was too, and I couldn't get it, so I finally went with the number.
Yeah.
Okay, it was bus 720.
Mm.
Okay, so Carl's still the winner, though.
Yep.
So, with me and Lisa coming in second. So, Carl, ask your audience question.
My audience question is. Yeah. Okay. We'll go Scully on this one. What is Ferris's house number?
Nice. Lisa.
What was on the seat of Cameron's car? Driver's seat.
Ooh. Okay.
Cameron's or Cameron's dad's?
Cameron's.
Cameron's.
I remember what it is.
Yeah, I do.
All right, Scully.
What was the boy in the police station in for?
That took me a second, actually. And it took me another second to keep from saying it. Anyway, okay, and mine is, describe each piece of the machinery that Ferris used to make it look like he was sleeping in his room.
Wow.
Yeah, I didn't go too easy. But remember, we do still have the iTunes gift card up for grabs.
Yep, because nobody got it last week.
Yep. So answer all of these questions to get $25 iTunes gift card. And answer any of them to get mentioned on the air. You can send those answers in to inthebufffilms@gmail.com. And that moves us into mental debuff, and Carl has won the right to go first.
I love John Hughes. I love John Hughes's vision of the 80s, and God, he needs to make more movies. Is he still alive?
Yes, but he stopped doing blow, so.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry.
Uh-huh. You're helpful. I'm looking to... nope. Wow. He has not directed a movie since 1991.
No,
I don't, and I don't even remember this movie.
Lisa.
Okay, as I stated, I do not like comedy. I got turned off of comedy watching National Lampoon. Anything. But, on that note, I will say Ferris Bueller's Day Off is better than that.
All right.
Is that all?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. Scully?
Yeah, I think it's best when you tell people you're going to go watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off, and they go, you haven't seen that yet? Yes, I have seen it. And if you have to answer no, you haven't seen it yet, then there's something wrong with you.
Turn this off, go watch it.
Pretty much, yeah.
15 minutes of AMC when Walking Dead's not playing, and you'll catch it. By the way, who doesn't love Walking Dead? Yeah. Anyway. All right. So that means it's time for Rod's Rants.
Yep.
Let me explain something to the unwashed masses. This is like every other John Hughes movie. Shitty acting, shitty plot, shitty photography, all around shitty movie. which only goes to further my suspicion that Mr. Hughes has in fact sold his soul to the devil. Because I don't know why, but I fucking love these damned movies. It's so goddamn ridiculous! It's like getting on a plane to South fucking Franklin, North Dakota. What is the point? I say this as a standard fact. From here on out, Chewbacca is a Wookiee, Doctor Who kicks ass, and John Hughes is a soulless, maniacal 80s film god. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is Rod's rants.
Wow, harsh.
You were able to get Doctor Who in that!
Yeah, that was a Scully shout-out.
Yeah.
Scully's not the only one who likes Doctor Who. By the way, when does next season start?
30th of March.
Everything starts at the end of the March.
Yeah, I know.
Including the finale, well, ending too. So the ending finale of Walking Dead, we have Game of Thrones starts back up on the same night, and then Doctor Who premieres, and there's a couple others.
Yeah.
Anyway. And yeah, it was a little harsh, but I'm still pretty sure that John Hughes did sell his soul.
Yeah. And by the way, I will clarify, after having seen the cover of John Hughes' last movie, Curly Sue, I have seen it. And yeah, I do remember it being pretty good.
Didn't it star the Pink Ranger?
I have no idea. It starred Kelly Lynch.
Oh, no, okay.
Or wait, no, I'm sorry. Allison Porter.
Neither, no.
Was Curly okay. Sue.
So, that is Ferris Bueller's Day Off in the Buff. And he was in the buff quite a bit in this movie, actually.
No, he wasn't. One scene.
The shower, and then there was a swimming thing where he was in his really freaky underwear, by the way.
What, his leopard boxers that matched his sweater vest?
Yeah, that was really kind of weird. Anyway, so join us next week for Catch Me If You Can in the Buff. That was awesome, by the way. That was great naming.
And an awesome anyway, movie.
Yes, it is an awesome movie. Tom Hanks tries to catch Leonardo DiCaprio, and somehow they all end up in France. We'll figure out how that happens next week. So until then, keep watching those movies in the buff. It's just better that way. Good night, folks.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
What? You guys are still here? It's over. Go do something else. Sober up, even. Good night.
Hey, buffers. Don't forget to check out our new website, moviesinthebuff.com. And like us on Facebook and Google+, or follow us on Twitter at Movies in the Buff. You can also follow your team at Debauchery, me at Rod the Golden.
At Scully44.
At Kith Kanan.
And at Acorna Witch.
You can email us at inthebufffilms@gmail.com.
Movies in the Buff is now also available on Stitcher Smart Radio. Find out more at Stitcher.com or download the app today.
Movies in the Buff is distributed under a Creative Commons
Attribution
Non-Commercial
No Derivatives
3.0 U.S. License.